Psalm 34, let's read again the first 10 verses. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. And of course, I'm not going to go back and review, but David is calling to the congregation of the righteous to magnify the Lord with him, to exalt the name of the Lord together because of God's goodness that has been expressed to him, and in one of those ways is his deliverance from his fears and the situation that he was in. And he was delivered even though he had no money, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't know who to go to as far as humanly speaking. There was no avenue out of this. He certainly wasn't going to eventually take the path of a deceitful tongue or evil behavior. And so the Lord delivered him. And then the second thing that he got was that he came to understand the ways of the Lord better. And isn't that what happens with us? And you'll hear somebody say who's gone through a hard trial and they finally come to grips with it, whether the circumstances really changed or not. But after a while, they'll say something like this: it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy word, O God. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's just that part of the instruction that comes. And it can actually get to the place where you can actually have such a grateful heart about how the Lord has changed you in the midst of the fears that you would say something like this: you know, I really wouldn't have that change for anything because of the treasure of the knowledge of the Lord. You don't need wealth to do this. You don't need position to do this. You don't need to know the president to do this. You don't need to have a vote in Congress to do this. You don't need a state senator or a legislature, right? All you need to do to be delivered is one thing: fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That's the one thing that you have to have. And of course, that's brought up, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues him. So the condition, as far as man's side is concerned, the condition is that we fear the Lord. It's people who fear the Lord that get the deliverance. And so verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And that's what it means to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord means that you want to see the magnification of God's goodness in your life and you run to him. Okay, and that you run to him in a couple of ways. One, you're certainly crying, Abba, Father. Yes? Okay? You're not going down to your neighbor to try to figure out how to do it. You're not sitting in your mind thinking, now how cunning can I be to get out of this trouble? You know, you're going to the Lord. You're crying, Abba, Father. And then secondly, you're opening your Bible. Because you want to know, like, how to pray. You want to know, well, how's the Lord going to do this, right? You want to know the ways of the Lord in the midst of this particular circumstance. And the beautiful thing about it is, and in many cases, in the congregation of the righteous, there's other people who have gone through similar things, and they can come alongside of you and say, let me tell you how the Lord strengthened me when I went through something similar. Right? Mm-hmm. And then you have that support that is there. And we want to taste and see. That's just a fancy way of saying that we don't want to just talk about God being good. We want to actually experience His goodness, right? I can talk about honey all day long. I can tell you how great it is. But until you, hopefully you like honey, right? But until you take the honey and you taste it, right? You got to taste it to be able to say it's good, right? We want to taste and see, meaning not only taste His goodness, but actually see the goodness being manifested in the land of the living. We want to taste and see. And how blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him, because he will experience the Lord's deliverance there in his life. And so, what a blessing this is. We have a common refuge. Every one of us in here that are believers, the Lord is our refuge. Amen. If I could word it this way, He's our ark in the midst of the flood, right? And he is the one that we go to. So we have a common place of refuge here in a New Testament church. We also have a common rescue. Because every believer has been rescued from sin and death. Amen? So we have a common rescue or Savior, and we have a common Savior who's going to be with us during our pilgrimage until we ultimately see Him. And so one of the problems that we have is that the level of our fear of the Lord can be evidenced by where you run to when trial and troubles and fears come, right? Mm-hmm. Where does a person run to? And I've actually used this before. People will say to me, well, I know the Lord, you know, I knew the Lord, you know, way back when I was in my mother's womb, I came to Christ. And, you know, people, you'd be surprised the things I've heard. Okay. But what I want to see in their life, one of the things I'll be looking for in their life is, how do they handle trouble? Right? Romans 8 says, we cry, Abba, Father. People who are saved have the spirit of adoption inside of them. Right? Our Lord cried, Abba, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, did He not? Mm-hmm. And this psalm is saying that this is the Lord is our refuge. So, but our level of fear is what we do in the midst of trials and afflictions and fears. But the problem is that we're not fully glorified, right? And so it's a mixed condition in our life. So we catch ourselves thinking, you know, how can I get out of this? I know I can. Yep. This just happens. And usually we'll try it. And I hope it fails. Okay? Sometimes the worst thing can happen is your cunningness works. Okay? What you want is your cunningness to fail. Okay? And when it fails, then the Lord Himself can come down. We think about how we can get out of it with our speech, or, you know, we don't want to do a lot of evil, but, you know, there are certain evils that are tolerated in most New Testament churches. And so if I can just kind of maneuver that way, then everybody will pat me on the back because I'm so wise. Okay, but the Lord doesn't go for all that. Okay? So our level of fear, can we say it? Our level of fear is what we do when we're in the midst of trial, affliction, fears. Now that brings us down here to verses 9 and 10, in which we read, oh, fear the Lord. This is a command to us. I mean, if the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescue Him, and David did fear the Lord, and he was rescued, then naturally what would flow out from David saying, oh, magnify the Lord together with me for my deliverance, is his exhortation to the congregation of the righteous to what? Fear the Lord. I mean, if that's the case, if that's how you're going to be delivered, then fear Him. Now, does that not make sense? Okay? fear Him. So fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him, there is no want. There is no lack. Meaning, there's no lack of what? The goodness of God. Remember He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, and I gave some illustrations of what that goodness was surround. So fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no lack, meaning tasting and seeing that the Lord is good to people who fear Him. Okay? And so we can come to this little statement. God's goodness comes to God-fearers. Right? That's an easy way to summarize what David is exhorting us to do. God's goodness comes to God-fearers. So brethren, surely we would fear the Lord. There is no want, there is no poverty to them that fear the Lord. Meaning, there's no poverty of God's goodness being seen in their life. And so fear of the Lord is a huge topic in our Bibles. But let's just look at a few places here in Psalms. Go back to Psalm 25. Look at verse 12. Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Everybody see that? Who is the man who fears the Lord? He, that is the Lord, will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. Look at verse 14. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. And so there is some translation issue here in verse 14. It could be the secret of the Lord, or the counsel of the Lord, or the intimate relationship of the Lord comes to those who fear Him. But the point that I want us to see here is that when David is encouraging us to fear the Lord, it's for our good. Verse 12, don't you want to be instructed in the way that you should choose? Yes or no? Sure you do. Well, how do you ensure that? Well, I have a book that says, you know, Pastor Jones, you know, I'm how old am I? What year is this? I'm 58, okay? So I have a Pastor Jones, chapter 58, you know, paragraph 2, number 26, or whatever day this is, right? I don't have that. Do you have that? I don't have that. But what I do have is that I can know the Lord and know His ways, and those things begin to, as it were, provide guidelines and boundaries in my choices. So fearing the Lord gives us that type of instruction. And there is a secret of the Lord that is for people who fear Him. Have you ever noticed that, especially after people have known the Lord for a long time and they've really taking it under their belt to mature. I mean, that's like been their goal, right? And they've done this year after year after year. You listen to them talk, and sometimes you hear them talk and you're thinking, I know they're right, but I really don't understand what they're saying. I really haven't gotten to the place where I've experienced that. But I know it's right because it's in agreement with the Scripture. Why is that? Because they've given themselves over to the what of the Lord? The fear of the Lord. And that involves praying when you're in trouble. It involves getting in your Bible to know Him. Okay? And of course, Romans 12 says that, right? We're to renew our minds so that we may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So look in Psalm 31. Now, I love Psalm 31, and in my Bible, I have certain things highlighted. Okay, now I'm going to read the highlights, and then you tell me what the theme of the psalm is. Verse 1, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Verse 6, I hate those who regard vain thoughts, but I trust in the Lord. Verse 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Verse 19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Verse 24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. So what do you think the psalm is all about? It's trusting the Lord, right? Okay, and here's the beautiful thing about this psalm. Look down at verse 5. Have you ever seen verse 5 before? Into your hand I commit my spirit. Who said that? So when he said that, what was he doing? He's calling the Lord his refuge. He is saying publicly, I trust in you, right? Because that's what this psalm is all about. I love this passage down through here. Of course, you read verse 19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who... How great is your goodness, which you have stored up. You've treasured this up to give it to people who... fear you. Everybody see that? Okay. Now, look at verse 22. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. I can't help but read verse 22 and think of the other passage. My God, why have you? Right? I said, as for me, I said in my alarm or in my fears or in my troubles, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, God heard his prayers. Amen? That's wonderful. So what if you feel like God's not there? Keep fearing the Lord, right? Keep praying. Keep seeking him. So here, beautiful, how great is your greatness, your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues him. Psalm 85, and verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. So salvation is near to who? People who fear him. Don't think justification here. Think salvation as of soul, spirit, body, deliverances out of all of your fears. Or Psalm 111. Look at verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. That's a great verse, right? How can you recognize somebody delighting in the Lord? They are fearing the Lord. They are studying the Lord and his ways. Look at verse 5. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. What a blessing that is. And so here we have all of these promises. These are just a few, brethren, of the promises of people who fear the Lord. I went through the book of Proverbs and just listened. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Don't you want to know him? Don't you want to have right knowledge? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't you want to know how to apply the knowledge? Yes or no?
Yes.
Sure you do. Okay. People who seek the Lord, who fear the Lord, the Word of God becomes a discerner for them. In other words, they can make decisions and see things. The fear of the Lord hates evil. People say, well, I fear the Lord, but they're just fully engaged in sensuality. They don't fear the Lord because people who fear the Lord hate evil. They hate pride and arrogance. They hate the ways of the pride and perverted speech. The fear of the Lord establishes, settles, strengthens our faith. The fear of the Lord is more valuable. How do you like this? The fear of the Lord is more valuable than wealth. Now, I would dare say that most of us don't agree with that. From what I see in professing people who profess to be believers, we spend more time and energies, you know, how to handle our wealth and what to do with it than we do seeking the Lord. The fear of the Lord is true knowledge, and that fear humbles us. The actual knowledge, the fear of the Lord being the beginning of the knowledge that we gain in the fear of the Lord actually promotes us fearing the Lord. So it's circular in its understanding. And I love this, Proverbs 31, verse 30. The fear of the Lord is what makes a godly woman praiseworthy. It's not her beauty. It's not her dress. It's not her economic skills. It's really not even how she manages the house. What makes her beautiful is the fear of the Lord, because beauty and charm are an empty deception. All that is there in Proverbs and more. So folks, when he says verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord," shouldn't our hearts say amen to that? Shouldn't we say to ourselves, "I don't fear him enough. I don't reverence him enough. I don't seek him enough. I don't know him enough." And brethren, again, verse 9, people who fear the Lord will never enter into the poverty of seeing God's goodness. It's not that they won't have trials and afflictions, but what do they get in the midst of their trials and afflictions? Deliverance, right? And instruction. Verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." Now let's step back, brethren. He's arguing for this. Haven't you observed in life that the young lions go without? Okay, let me just rephrase it. Have you not observed in life that young people go without? Now, a lion is known for its strength, right? And for its ability to get prey. In other words, there is self-ability, giftedness that people have. And we have seen people who are way more gifted than we are and have way more strength than we do, and we have seen them come to poverty. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. In other words, strong people go without deliverance. Strong people go hungry. The strength of youth is not sufficient. Now, we need to let that rattle into our heads, because our culture says, you know, once you pass 35, you're old. And you're out of it because we're strong and we're full of zeal. We're the ones, right? We're the ones you ought to look up to. The strength of youth is not sufficient. The desire of youth is not sufficient. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Even the cunningness of a lion doesn't ensure that it won't go without food. I don't know if you've ever seen the documentaries where these lions would get in packs. Okay, the females do all the hunting. So the lions, that's females, they get together and they go out there and, you know, they bring down the food. And they'll be in packs. And they've encircled those wildebeest and they're ready to go. And, you know, everything cunning is done and they're going to be delivered from their hunger. And then, you know, you're watching this whole thing and you're rooting for the wildebeest to get away. Go, 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 you know. And you got all of these lions, everything. And the wildebeest gets away. And you say, how could they do that? I mean, there's eight lions out there trying to bring down this animal. Well, the young lions do lack, and they do suffer hunger. And folks, people look to their youth and to their cunningness and to their zeal and to their strength, and they say something like, believe in yourself and you'll be delivered. I don't know if you ever realized how dumb that saying is. Everybody says it. I'm like, you know what? You're a champion. Why are you a champion? I just believe in myself. Everybody believes in themselves. Just look around. Do you believe in yourself? Of course you do. You're here. But folks, people who fear the Lord, people who seek the Lord, have no lack of God's goodness in their life. So what would be the rational thing to do? Choose the fear of the Lord. Wouldn't that be rational? Okay, if I want God's goodness in my life and this is the way I get God's goodness, is to fear the Lord, then it only makes rational sense that that ought to be the pursuit of my life, right? To know Him, to be saved, to walk in His ways, to choose wisdom and to choose true knowledge instead of wealth and human wisdom and human cunningness and business and all this kind of stuff. Folks, do you want wealth that comes from the Lord? Do you want wisdom? It comes from where? The Lord. You want knowledge? It comes from the Lord. You want favor from God? It comes from? You want His goodness in your life? It comes from the? Now, everybody see that? Now turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. And we'll conclude here. 1 Peter 2:16 In fact, it commands us to choose the Lord. And he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So now look at what Timothy tells these people who are under trial and affliction. Some of them under fiery trials. He brings up to them the enduring word of God. And he says, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Everybody see those sins? When do people do those sins? Well, they do them all the time. But they really do them when they get in oppressive trials. Right? They'll get angry about it. They will lash out about it. They will try to do deceitful things to get out of it. They will try to be an hypocrite in the midst of this. And Peter says, put aside all the malice and all the deceit and all the hypocrisy and all the envy and all the slander. Everybody see that? And instead of doing that, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word so that you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Everybody see that? In other words, have you experienced the true deliverance that is in Christ? That's God's goodness to you. He delivered you from the fear of death. He delivered you from all your sins. Amen? All right, have you really tasted that? In other words, have you experienced that? Then you ought to know that in trial, like our Lord did not resort to malice or deceit or hypocrisy or envy or slander. Our Lord feared the Lord and trusted. Did God deliver him? Yes or no? He did. And is he alive to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? He is. And so, brethren, it is self-evident, is it not, that a believer who has experienced the true salvation of the Lord would gladly say in his heart to just a little prodding, look, just like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Did David in Psalm 34 ultimately give up all that fakery? And somewhere along the line, he looked back at that and he might have said, you know, I did wrong and I've learned since then that I should choose the fear of the Lord. And when he did, he saw the goodness of the Lord. And brethren, the ultimate good is not your getting out of your physical circumstances. The ultimate good is that you are conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Right? And how's that going to happen? Through the Word of God. And just like David, he's going to come in, now he's going to say, look, I'm telling you to fear the Lord. Now let me teach you about the fear of the Lord. How did he get that? He learned it through the affliction. He was conformed into the image of Christ. All right, what's God going to do to you? The same thing he did with David. He's going to teach you the fear of the Lord if you'll walk in him. So brethren, don't we desire in all of our various trials to taste and see that the Lord is good? So at the end of your days, what you're going to give testimony in a church one day, you're going to stand up and you have all these young people out there, you know, they're 5 and 8 and 16 and 20 and 30, and you're going to look up and say, I've been young and I've been old, and God's been good to me all my life. It really mean it, because you've seen it. Brethren, choose the fear of the Lord in all your ways. Let's pray.